Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Couples TV Show with Greg and Cheryl Clark. You have made a great choice. Now sit back, take notes, and expect your relationship to transform today. Now join me in welcoming your hosts, Greg and Cheryl Clark.
Well, welcome to the Couples TV Show. For the Inner Discovery Hour with Greg and Cheryl. And it's tremendous and great that we have this opportunity to spend with you on this Monday evening, this glorious Monday evening. And without further ado, my name is Gregory Clark, and I would like to present Cheryl Clark.
Hello, everybody. How is everyone doing this evening? Such a pleasure to be with us, or with you.
As you can see, we're a little, if you can see us on video, you may not see it, but we'll probably edit it out, but we're preparing to celebrate our time together these past 20 years, and it's been just a little tumultuous, but that's what, I'm talking about the setup for today. But other than that, it's going to be a great time, and, you know, can't wait for this to get to Punta Cana so we can and do this. But without further ado, for this month in particular, we're going to deal with the 20 things we have learned about marriage that you need to know. See, Cheryl gave you a little glimpses, and we're going to kind of expound on it a little bit over the next 4 weeks. So today you'll get the first five, and if you have the opportunity and the ability and you're on Facebook, please like our page, The Couple Motivated. You'll see this great logo, as you can probably see a little better on Cheryl's shirt. Once you see that logo, click like, and you'll be able to follow us and see the posts that we put up, at least on a daily basis, in reference to things that can be enlightening and helpful. And also, you have the opportunity to subscribe to our YouTube channel. And you simply have to just type in The Couple Motivated. That YouTube channel will come up. Click subscribe, and any of our previous videos or episodes or information that you would like to see from The Couple Motivators is on that page. So if you want to see our videos, you need to now, going forward, you will see it only on our YouTube channel. So you'll have the opportunity to go subscribe and take advantage of that time. So let's jump right into it. As we said, 20 things we have learned about marriage that you need to know. Before we jump in, let me give Cheryl an opportunity, you know, to greet the people properly, without just a wonderful smile.
Well, like Greg said, we are very excited about this month coming up. Last month in March, we celebrated our 20th year anniversary together.
Married,
yeah, 25 years together and 20 years married.
Lord.
And this is the thing that really prompted us to do The Couple Motivators, is because a lot of people ask us, how did you guys make it? And what is the secret? And there is no secret sauce at all. There is just something that you just have to know that. And also, marriage is not a sprint. It's a marathon. You always have to make sure that especially in the relationship with that, if you ever had in a marathon, you meet people at different points of your life to give you water. Mm-hmm. And in different points of the marathon, people are giving people water. So just because you're going a 10K or anything like that, you need people to help you along your journey. So if you are, that's how I look at marriage. Because that's the simplest thing, is because in a marriage, you have to, if you have no source of reference to look to, how are you going to be a wife? How are you going to be a husband? So The Couple Motivators is about inspiring marriages to be healthy, to grow with each other, and to just establish some type of legacy for your family for years to come, to say that my grandfathers made it, my uncles made it, my aunts made it to the years, if that's your so choosing. But if you end this marriage, then it's something that you should put the work in. And you're all going to have to work at it. And it's a daily work. It is not something that you stop. You breathe every day. You take a breath. We're breathing right now. And some people didn't wake up this morning. So you got to make sure that you're putting in the work, and what you're putting into it is something that is growing. You want to always be growing. So the relationship about the couple's motivated is about growing and being motivated to be still be married. You have to have something to in you to want to be married to the same person every single day. So this is what the couple motivators are about, and we're excited about it. And I just happened last week to put 20 things I learned about being married 20 years. And everybody was like, this is some great nuggets. And it was just off the top of my head about things that I learned. So, Greg, you wanted to say the first one?
Oh, I would love to say the first one that we can expound upon. Let me stop it. Be led by spiritual principles. Sometimes when either Cheryl didn't know or I didn't know what to say or do, we called on our spiritual source. She would call out God. I would call out God. Sometimes I exclaim the universe. Sometimes you just have to walk and just meditate on it. Now, Cheryl, with that first one, being led by spiritual principles, what comes to mind to me is that, as you were sharing just a couple of moments ago, when it comes to marriage, there is no blueprint. There's no magical blueprint. Now, there are plenty of successful marriages, and there's plenty of those that have failed as well. So somewhere in the middle, you're starting to look for different parts that you can utilize to make sure that you have a successful relationship. And a lot of those goes to your spirituality. It's not about your religion. It's not about whatever you call the deity that's in your life. What it is about is that there's a connective source within you, your spirit, and we all have one, that's resonating inside of you, that's connecting to someone else's spirit. And by doing so, you start to understand that there are times she want to choke me. There are times I may have the thought to want to choke her. But spiritually, it comes back to say, it comes to check you. It comes to show that, you know what, you're not actually all that correct in a particular situation. And sometimes you just got to step back and look at it from a spiritual aspect and just to say that if this is truly my partner, they're not going to be magically omnipresent. You're not magically omnipresent. You both have flaws. And by within those flaws, and you start to focus on the strengths and not the weaknesses, and things be able to grow and to get to the higher point and some level of longevity. Because it's easy to get mad at someone and then turn around and say, well, I'm leaving. I don't want to see your face again. Why? Because maybe the room was a little uncluttered, or they left their underwear in the bathroom, or maybe they just didn't call. There's so many crazy situations that occur that people use to minimize their relationship that almost it becomes laughable. But if your spiritual foundation is there, then you know that you have the ability to have a successful relationship that will have some level of longevity. And also through that longevity, hopefully you'll build a legacy. Cheryl?
Well, also the thing that we, when I say spiritual principles, is something that's, when you don't know what to, like the next line was, when I didn't know what to do, I would call on God. And the thing is some people may turn to their Bible. Some people may turn to whatever it is that they're going to keep them to a point of just balance. Because once you, spiritual principles that we're led by, also you deal with things that balance the whole body, soul. So the spiritual aspect of that is your whole body, soul, and mind. So if your whole body and soul is not connected with the one source, then what happens is you get out of whack, and then everything around you gets out of whack. So you have to center yourself, whether it be meditation, whether it be the Bible, whether it be the if you go into the mosque, whether you're doing yoga, whatever spiritual thing, whether you're a Buddhist, whatever you're doing, and it's a spiritual aspect of that, it is what it is. And a lot of times for me, what I did was I would go to a place and I would just meditate and be quiet. I would just be quiet. And there are certain things that I would do, and I would call my spiritual mother, and I would ask her questions, because when I don't know, I go to someone that I can now say, I need help in this area. And then I would have to be quiet. There are certain things I know that I can say to him that will tear down his spirit. But with spiritual principles guiding you, you're able to now govern your mouth, your tongue, your mind, body, and soul is connected, and that's spiritual principles.
That was great. That summed it up in a nutshell, with number one being led by spiritual principles, which jumps us in right into number two. My spouse is not perfect, because I'm not. Would you like to begin on that one?
Sure. We are all imperfect.
Mm.
However, when we met them, they were the perfect one for
handsome.
Me.
I'm still handsome.
Oh, my God. They were the perfect one.
I'm handsome.
You love the way he did that. Mm-hmm. You love the way she did that. Oh, my God. He's so perfect. Then you get married. And then life happens. And then you see the way they keep the room. You see the way they may snore. You see the way that they hang out, or the bonnet. I wear a bonnet on my head. You see, you see all of this happening in the first 2 years of marriage, and then you're like, I don't know if I like this. And then bodily functions happen, and you're like, oh my goodness, oh my gosh, he passes gas, he passes gas, and the whole thing is that we're not perfect. But go back to when you first met your spouse.
Mm.
There was something about them that kept coming back.
Mm.
There was something about them that wanted you there, that you wanted to say, I do, or you wanted to ask to be married. That's where we need to be at. My husband is not perfect.
No.
He doesn't have the perfect body. I don't have the perfect body. But guess what? It's the perfect thing for me. It's perfect for me. And that's what you got to know. You got to know that you know that you know that you will have to, if he has crooked teeth or he has a space between the teeth, like, why is my love in space? And that's what it is. And that's what you have to understand, because when we got married, he didn't have a bald head.
Mm-mm.
He had hair.
Yes.
So,
pictures to prove it.
Yeah. So that's the thing. You grow over time, and then you're also going to, hopefully, if you're in a relationship where you're growing together, you are not going to be the same person at 20 or 30 that
very
you
true.
Married.
Yeah.
So if you're not growing together, you're going to either grow apart if you're not growing together. So the thing that I basically say about I am not perfect is that there are certain things about your spouse that will get underneath your skin.
Skin.
That you will not like.
Well,
but is
like
that a deal breaker? Is it really a deal breaker that he doesn't put down the toilet seat?
Mm.
Because it's not really about the toilet seat. It really isn't.
Mm.
Is it really that she just talks on the phone all day long? It's really not about her talking on the phone. And the thing is, if it is just that, you're not communicating. And that is what the thing is that we stand here and we look at everybody else's speck in their eyes, but we can't see ours. So the thing is, we all have specks in our eyes, and it's time for us to look in the mirror at ours first before we start pointing fingers at ourselves. Right?
Very good. And one of the things that I will add my portion to not being perfect, one of the things that Cheryl alluded to, and we all are perfectly imperfect. And why can I say that confidently and completely is that we all have different functions of our body that we may not be proud of. We may have situations within ourselves that I know my wife is beautiful, but there are certain parts of her body I know. It's not that it's taboo, but I respect the fact that she's resonating in a particular space. You just don't disturb that. And part of that, of understanding that we're not perfect, and then us as me as a man, there's certain, she said, there's certain things that she could say that at one point may have been more of a stickling point, but as you mature, it becomes less of, it becomes a mute point after a while. But there was a point in time, believe you me, she can say a certain sentence or a certain particular reaction that will make me go someplace left. But as you mature, as you grow with your spouse, you start to see that those things that used to be a situation that would be a notion of conflict would, now it's not, now it's no conflict, because now we're growing in our imperfectness. Even though I know imperfectness is not a word, but just created a little word. Don't get on me about my grammar. I'm very good with English. But anyway, when you start to learn that you're perfectly imperfect, now you start to remove some of the drama that used to be, now you are nitpicking at things and at situations that, as much as you throw darts, are you ready for the darts to come back at you? And if you're not ready for the darts to come back at you, then one of the things that you can do to work on within your relationship is to be introspective. We as humans, we all pass gas. We all do certain things that, you know, may not be the most great. You know, we all have situations. We all do. Don't sit here, especially in the sound of our voice or watching this video, and think that, you know, you're perfect. Regardless if you think you have the perfect body, you don't. You can have every muscle in place, and you're perfectly imperfect. There will be some part of your body that will become an issue, that can become an issue within a relationship. Now, if you allow that point to be the stumbling block to keep you from having a blessing because you're caught up in the temporal, because my wife's body is not the same body that I met 25 years ago. Definitely my body is not the body that she met 25 years ago. But what has allowed us to have this level of longevity is that I'm not looking, per se, at the body. I'm dealing with the vibration. The vibration is correct.
Well, I tend to disagree. He is looking at the body as well.
Well, metaphysical.
We both are looking at the body.
Well, I'll say it like this. Me dealing with the vibration allows me to still look at the booty and everything else that connects with the booty. But I'm not sitting there saying, oh, why is it not like this? Why is it not like that?
Okay, let me just say this.
Why is it? Why are you interrupting? Go.
Okay.
No, go.
What I think that I got to say is that I think we both look at the physical.
You look at the physical?
Yes.
I thought women are just so emotional and introspective.
I know. We look at the physical as well. So we do look at the physical. We're not blind. We look at the physical.
Mm-hmm.
The whole point is that when I say we are imperfect, or you're saying that we're perfectly imperfect, you learn to not say things as hurtful. That's what you learn. You know that, I know that, for me to have 6 kids, my belly is not flat anymore. And that used to be something that I used to pride myself on. I used to have a flat belly and stuff like that. I have 6 children. It's not gonna be flat anymore. The thing that we know is that there's stuff that we all have, like you said, but your spouse knows what is your point, where is a sensitive point where you may be working on that, that you will not say to that person. So why would you say something hurtful to that person if you know that's a point where that's a hurtful spot for them? So being not being perfect is something that we have to learn, that our spouse is not perfect, but we need to learn what they're struggling with and then not highlight it for them to make them feel bad. So that's what I have to say.
That's what you have to say? You wrapped it up in a bow?
In a nutshell.
In a nutshell? Now, how many nuts?
Two.
Now, as we move on to number three. Ooh, number three is going to be a little deep. Having a forgiving heart and accept apologies graciously. Please, I want you to start on this one.
No, I just think forgiving is something that is very important to do. Because we could say that we forgive and we just forget.
Can we just forget or we...
Yeah, we forget. Because forgetting means that you're going to put it in the back of your brain and then something triggers you, the person says, then you go, oh, I remember now. You did say I had a big head and all whatever else.
Forget.
Yeah, you do forget stuff. But then you, I forgot my keys. Then you go out to the car and you say, oh, I forgot my keys. You have to go back and get it. So it triggers you because you got to the car, you didn't have your keys. So what happens when you forget something is somebody says something and you're like, oh, I remember now. The whole point is if somebody brings it up, if you really forgive them and it comes up, if you've forgiven that, you don't have to worry about it triggering that thing in you because you're forgiving them. You have forgiven them from whatever they did or said to you in that regard. So if you have forgiven someone, it doesn't matter if they brought it up or not, you forgave them. Now, in a relationship, why would the other person keep bringing things up? That is sensitive. And forgiving somebody is not something that is an easy task to do. And accepting the apology is something that is difficult for people to do. Because you're like, oh, I'm not going to forgive them. Oh, no, I'm not forgiving them. And we walk around with an attitude, and then we walk around with something happening, and then we walk around with this, and then you get mad, and then all kind of other stuff. And then it just turns into other things that it could turn into sickness.
Mm.
It could turn into resentment.
True.
It could return into a lot of guilt. It could just return into a lot of shame. It could turn into a lot of things that it can turn into. Mm. Why do that? If you love this person, unconditional love, with agape love, then you'll be able to forgive them like God forgave us.
Ooh. Mm. I love it. Easter Sunday, still speaking. People. You know, I'm a mess. No, but all jokes aside, when it comes to, and I may have a little bit of a different perspective, but it's still, that's why man and woman, we have different perspectives, but we're working all within the same point.
But these were mine. These are what I learned in 20 years. So you can give your perspective of what.
I know. I didn't deny. Anything. All I said was I was going to get my perspective. Can I ask, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Now, as I was about to say, having a forgiving heart is something that you have to develop over time. You can't be so rigid that you quell opportunities within your life because you want to sit there and be correct. And usually when you try to be correct or try to be overtly right in every particular situation in your life, that's when things start to crumble around you because now technically you're moving in the wrong vibration. Now, as Cheryl said, accepting apologies graciously, that also takes skill. Time and time again, certain things may come up, and she brought up a great point. Instead of just putting it in the recesses of your mind, waiting to bring it back up, to recharge it, sometimes we have to certain things that if you allow your vibration to really move or navigate away from that particular hurt, then you can start to build on it, and you can start to allow the spaces around you to let certain things just go away. Not so much die or disappear, but just go away. Allow certain things to say, whatever space that you are willing to create that's going to be beneficial for your relationship. That's what you have to do. It has nothing to do with right or wrong. And sometimes people say, oh, you know, forgive and grace lead. I mean, somebody was right, somebody's wrong. Sometimes you can forgive and you are actually right. But it's not so much trying to prove, okay, I'm just forgiving because I was wrong. No, sometimes you got to forgive when you're right, because you may be right, but the way you presented it was wrong. The way that you may have brought about your opinion may have been wrong. So in some ways, yeah, you may be going on the right road, but you went about it the right way. The same way for transparency, just like when my children, a child can act up and act a little crazy, and it goes back into how it flows with having a forgiving heart. And they'll do certain things, be like, you know what? For this particular moment, I'm going to let you see, because you think you're smarter than me. I'm going to let you experience something. But it's not the point that you're turning them away or you're actually trying to unravel them. No, you want them to see a point where even though my heart may be forgiven, you still have to allow some resonance and some growth to occur to allow certain things to happen and to aspire towards. But definitely within your relationship to stay on point, when you're dealing with your spouse and you're dealing with the person that you love, because people sometimes bandy around that word love and don't really grasp the real intrinsicness of it. If you just love someone, see, I don't just love my wife because of her body. Those are one of the things that I love about her. See, there's a difference. I love about what one of the things that attracted me, and I've said in the past, her creativity, her love of life, her sense of family. See, those vibrations mixed in with the booty and other things that I like helps create a bigger picture. But staying on task in reference to forgiving graciously, my wife has actually helped me develop in that area. Because there are times where I would just, no. And I'm done with it, I'm done with it. But see, that also helps that during the evolution, and we may speak about that towards the end of tonight's episode, how you can, you know, maybe join us for a particular conference in June. But to stay on point, accept whatever apologies that are given towards you humbly and graciously. Don't just sit there and, oh, yeah, I was right. Stop. Because now you're taking a moment that's supposed to create a level space of peace and a level space of communal bliss, and you're screwing up the vibration. You're screwing up the moment. You're screwing up the thing that can allow this thing just to go away. Because now you want to prove in your ego something. So one of the things when I look at accepting, apologizing graciously, or apologies, or even apologizing graciously, you're allowing your ego to digress. And by allowing your ego to digress, you have the opportunity to allow the right space to open up. Would you like to read number four?
I can't see.
glasses. Oh, this is a good one. And we started talking about it because we have six of them. I love being a parent. Just wish they came with a manual. Now, I'm going to let her start because even though I'm a father of six, I was there for each and every birth with every situation that went on. During those times, during those deliveries, so I have to cede the floor to the woman who birthed my six children.
Well, I do love being a parent. And, yes, they do, I believe, should come with a manual, but they don't.
Hmm.
But in actuality, that's what I love about being a woman, because we... As a woman, you men will never be able to carry a child. So, and I believe that women are the most strongest creatures on earth.
Those hips, boy.
To be able to give forth life.
The body expanding.
To be able to carry life for 9 months. and to have a blessing of children. That's our first say. Children are a blessing from God. Because there are a lot of people that cannot have children. And we were blessed with six. And our first one was a girl. And they're always the trial and error with the first one. So we kind of wrote our manual by her. And then the second one was a male. So then we had different experiences with him.
So now we had manual one and two.
Then we realized that there's some things in that manual that you can use with the third child, but it's not always, you can't always adapt that same principle or rule to that third child, and so forth and so forth and so forth, because they all have different personalities. Mm-hmm. Now, you can read I read a lot of parenting book, and yes, I'm a marriage and family therapist. My husband is an educator, and we've been around, we've two daycare facilities, and we've been around different children, and they're all a blessing. The whole poignant point of a parent is that you need support.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do not have support, you are on an island by yourself with children, you're probably going to think. So the thing that I would recommend is that a support system was our saving grace, I believe, when we were first having children very young. And I didn't know, because it might be a funny story, that very first one, we were a young couple married. And I brought the baby home, and she just kept crying. I'm like, every time she cried, I cried. And I'm like, what the heck is she crying for? I call mom, and she's like, bring the baby. We packed up, and we went to my mother's house. And with 2 seconds, my mother had her not crying. And she said, oh, the baby's hungry. And the baby slept for like 10 hours straight.
Somebody got some sleep that day.
And the whole point was is that experience really, really trumped you having any type of inexperience. So experience speaks louder than anything. I would always go to someone that has an 18-year-old. Why not? I would go to some parent that's been through having an 18-year-old son or daughter, because they know that they may do something foolish that you're like, what the heck?
Know how to choke a child.
What is going on? So the whole point is that they don't come with a manual, but you do have points of reference to ask people questions.
True.
And different things to bounce things off of. We have done a whole lot of things. We have spanked. We have punished. We have loved. We have talked. We have evolved over how we discipline. So there's things that we have done over time that, as parents of six, that we do no longer do when we were doing the first child. So over time, you will be and no parent is perfect. So your child may grow up and not like you. Who didn't like their parent at one point in their life?
I did.
Yeah. So that's the thing. Really? You know, I didn't like my mother. I blamed her for everything, and she's like, you'll thank me for it later. And you know what? I do thank her for it later.
Mm-hmm.
I do. I like who I turned out to be, and I think you like who you turned out to be. Your parents do the best that they know how to do. And for those who was abused and things of that nature, I implore you to really work through that through therapy, because to let them know that there was a conduit for you to be here.
That's right.
So I believe that you should respect your mother and your father, because without them, you would not be here.
That's
you would
right.
not have that body. So we didn't come with a manual, and I did the best job that we knew how, We took a little bit from my parents. We took a little bit from my grandparents. We took a little bit from my spiritual mother and father. We took a little bit from the aunts and uncles. You take a little bit here and there, mm-hmm. and then you start to create your family. And that's what you need to understand, that no family is alike either. You're all unique in your own ways. But you gotta know that they are gifts from God. When they start acting up, you say, God, I know the gifts from you. When you want to choke them, you're like, did you really just do that? And I also want to say something to you. The child's brain does not fully develop. It doesn't fully develop until they're in their late 20s. So logically thinking is all done by our frontal lobe, and the gray matter is not present yet because it hasn't all fully evolved. So you can go read about that. And knowledge is power. That's why you always hear about the drinking age and all that things. Because logically, can they make decisions for themselves logically? And the answer is no. And there's guidance there. This is what we're here for, to guide them. So we put what we need to put in them. We raise them like we need to be raised. And then we have them to be a source of support when they need us. And that is what I believe that we did. I think we did a pretty good job. You know, our people always tell us that our children are a joy to be around. And that is such a great thing to hear. So as a parent, I think that your aim should be is to raise healthy human beings that will be able to give back to the earth.
Very true. And one of the things as Cheryl alluded to, and I can speak from my perspective in reference to the child-rearing years, there's certain things that we did with the first two that as we trickle down to number six, we started to see, well, maybe we're going to tweak this and tweak that, but then there's sometimes you have to revisit, even though the manual's been written and has evolved. Sometimes, as they said, sometimes you got to go pick up a good book, a book that you love to read. You may have read it like hundreds of times. Like for me, it's the autobiography of Malcolm X. If I can sit there and have it in a PDF form and just read little episodes of it, I'll read it over and over again, and I've read it many times. Sometimes you got to go back to that manual and be like, you know what? For child A, this worked. Let me see what happens if I apply something. Not saying that you want child F to be child A. But what you're saying is, let me see. Because you're practicing. You're a practitioner. As a parent, you are a practitioner. Everything that you're going to actualize or do is not perfect. We're not perfect. We made mistakes. Our parents made mistakes. But one of the things that, and I think I can speak for Cheryl and say that as we became parents, we had a little bit more greater respect for those parents. Now, you take their input, and sometimes they'll do certain things, and they love it. You know, they'll do certain things for the children and send them back to you and be like, okay, now it's time for you to experience this. And you're sitting there like, wait a minute, this ain't the person that raised me. But then you start to understand. Once you get to that status of grandparent, there's a different vibration that kicks in because now you're starting to watch how the manifestation is unfolding because, you know, as me as a child that, you know, whose gray matter wasn't fully formed yet, you said, I'm not going to do certain things like my mother. And then there's sometimes when you get introspective and I meditate and I start to see, it's like, holy crap, I did that like my mother. And it's not like you did it purposely. Certain things is just downloaded in the deep recesses of your DNA, and it pops back up. And all of a sudden, it's like, wait a minute, I'm not going to be like, okay. And the worst thing you can ever do, and this is an extra nugget that we're going to give you, everything that you try to not be like, you end up becoming. So after a while, instead of me trying to become the next person who reared me, on the same thing with Cheryl, the person who reared her, we started saying, like, wait a minute, okay, we respect those paths, but now we formed this union to say it's time for us to create what we need to create. And there's no problem jumping back and say, you know what, let me hit your manual up for a little bit because you got some wisdom here. You you were able to bring me up to this point so I can be able to have the opportunity to bring up mine. So, you know, I'm not going to sit there and say I'm going to use everything. But there's certain things that you need to go back to and be like, you know what, I'm going to honor and respect the fact that, yo, you got here. You have some wisdom. And as Cheryl alluded to, the worst thing you can ever do is disrespect the individuals who allowed you to be in this particular form, regardless of whatever the circumstances. And she alluded to about, you know, certain things that are very traumatic in certain people's lives. But at the same time, think about it. And this is basic biology. In order for that egg to get fertilized, depending on the situation, it could be millions upon billions of sperm going up that canal. And that one that fought and made it fertilized that egg, and that fertilized egg became you or us or we. So as much as you go back and you say, oh, my God, I don't know why they did this, why they did that to me, stop it. They gave you a body. They allowed you to have a holding vessel for your spirit. Honor. They didn't have a manual. You, right now, if you're going through the years of raising your children like we are, there's certain things that, you know, and not even that. And the funny thing about it is, and this was something that a wise woman said to me over this past weekend. And it's something that I've heard before, but the way she said it, I respected it even more. She grabbed my hand. She said, you know, she looked at me and said, Greg, even when they get older, you're still going to be raising them. I said, what? I said, wait a minute. I was under the fantasy that, you know, after a certain age, I could be walking around my house butt naked. And I could be chasing my wife around the house butt naked, bucket naked.
You can walk around butt naked.
But no. I'm talking bucket naked. But then she brought that, but that realization hit. It's so true. Because just because they reach a certain status, if the connectedness is within the family, and if you've imparted something based on whatever your manual is, whatever setup and time and the way you've navigated your situation has evolved to, you never stop being a parent. There's no on and off switch. Oh, I'm stopping being a parent now. They're 22 years old, 23 years old. Okay, I'm done being a parent. No, it doesn't work. It keeps going. It keeps going until the temple that you're inhabited has reached its course, and you move on to the next side. But as Cheryl alluded to, I love being a parent as well. It's been fun. Sometimes some of the arduous things happen, but you know what? I learned through all those arduous things, and I learned more about myself as within my character. And to see some of our fruits that we bore, and as Cheryl shared, you know, when people come to us, you know, your kids are well behaved and this and the third. And in the back of our mind, we're like, wait a minute, what? But then I honor what they said, because that means we did something right. Mm-hmm. Imperfectly, we did something right. And by acknowledging the fact that it was done imperfectly, then you continue to grow. You continue to evolve, and you continue to learn, which will help you with each day that passes on. So that leads us into number 5, which will be the last point that we're sharing in this particular arc today. And it's interesting that there will be really, really great days. And I will definitely share it to Cheryl Clark.
Well, absolutely. There will be really great days. There'll be a lot of great days. But you got to make sure that you're doing the things that will keep making those memories great.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have control over our mouth, our actions, and how we say and what we do. So you can make your day really great by doing the things that need this need for in the relationship to be great. In order for any the word great itself, in order for any great person to be rise to the top, they had to carve out some time and energy to make that thing great. There is nothing, if you want your marriage to be great, you have to carve out that time and that energy to do that. you have to spend some quality time with your spouse in order to find out what is it that your spouse really, really needs in order for you to make that relationship great. Why not having a situation where you can sit back and say, you know, because I'm not really a movie person, but Greg likes to go to the movies. You know, we'll go to the movies sometimes, and, you know, I like to do things like skating and stuff like that, and, you know, go and think, do things like that, and, you know, stuff of that nature. You do things vice versa. So the whole point, you can have great days and have fantastic memories. And it doesn't have to cost you anything. It costs you the time and energy that you put in to making those memories great. What are you doing on a daily basis? So you need to be purposeful each and every day that I'm going to make this day a great day. And because of certain circumstances that you may not have control over, that you can have a horrible day. It can be a bad day, but it's with circumstances that's not under your control. And that has happened to us, too, where if your foundation is strong, that you can lean back and say, you know what, I'm going to ride this through. If fear happens to come to you, you can look back at what we said before about fear. You ride it through. Let it go through your butthole. We told everybody it goes through your forehead, through your mouth, and let it go right out through the other hole. Ride it through. Because if you keep fighting the same fight, is it worth it? Is it worth it? There's so many things that people get divorced over and they could have worked out. And I'm not saying that divorce is not, but let it be your why is it in your vocabulary in your relationship with your spouse? We don't entertain divorce because we believe that this is something that God has put together for the long haul, right?
Very true. And one of the things, when you start allowing certain vibrations to navigate, within your relationship, you're presenting yourself with a bigger issue. It's almost as if one of the things that I teach kids, and one of the things that was even taught to me at one point through my spiritual father, in which I turned around and imparted into the young men that I teach and young men that I coach, and they know there's certain words that they can't use around me. And those two words are try and can't. Not saying that those are negative words, but to me, when you try something, you're already creating a space to say, well, I can't necessarily do it, so I tried. No. You either do or you don't do. And the word can't presents a negative connotation because now you're already saying that you cannot complete something. Whereas we're already overcomers by you even being in this physical sense to have a great day. You're already an overcomer. So when you start negating and start removing certain words that we can use as a crutch, you know, certain people need crutches to balance themselves. And after a while, the crutch is only supposed to be there for a time. If you're truly doing the rehab and you're truly doing the work and you're truly doing what needs to be done in order for the crutch to be removed. But certain people hold on to those crutches, and they wonder why their great days don't really appear. Because you have this crutch. Oh, I tried to be nice to my wife. I don't know why I can't be nice to her. Stop trying. Do it. Be nice to her. And you'd be surprised by being nice to her is not necessarily what you're going to receive from her, but being nice to her actually relieves some tension off you. So wait a minute. It's not that I'm being nice to her to say, okay, if I do this, I'm expecting this from her. So now it's almost like an adversarial type of thing. That means you're trying to create a great day based on navigating in the space to be more adversarial. Well, if she don't do this for me, I ain't going to be nice to her. And vice versa. Well, I know he likes me to do certain things. I ain't going to do it because he ain't doing it for me. Come on. You know how childish that sounds? You sound like your gray matter's still there. You sound like you still stuck, just stuck. So your great days are always predicated on how you navigate. There are days, regardless of the situation, my wife is not perfect. I'm not perfect. But one thing that I'm do happy for, that I'm blessed for, is that I get to wake up next to her. That's for me starts my great day. And it's not about worrying about the physical. Because, see, that's really minute. Because regardless of whatever minutes that you invest in whatever physical action that occurs, you still have more hours in the day that you have to interact. So if your relationship is only, or your day is going to be great because of whatever physical activity it is, that just shows you're navigating in the wrong mind, in your lower nature. And technically, you're not really respecting your relationship. You're not allowing your relationship to evolve, to grow. Be like, you know what? Am I just happy so that I see her? Is she happy when she just sees me? Do I have to run to the store and purchase something just for her to feel comfortable to say, oh, Greg is around? If that's the case, then there's a bigger communication blockage that needs to be had. So your great days are always predicated on how you navigate them. And if you allow yourself to enjoy those great days, if you have one great day, you can have two. If you have two, you can have four. If you have four, you can have 16. If you have 16, you can have 256. You have 256, and as those of you who are really following me, you understand I'm jumping exponentially. I'm not even jumping. We're not playing with little first grade math here. You have the ability to prepare yourself. Now, just because you're having a great day doesn't mean that there are moments that, wait a minute, why is this going on? That doesn't negate your great day. It's just a situation. You focus on that particular moment, you deal with that moment, and you keep moving. So, you know, for this particular arc in this particular week, that was the first five of the 20 things that we have learned about marriage that you need to know. And next week we'll be dealing with the next five. And, you know, just like I said, there's good days. And I just give you a little hint. We probably start off to deal with how you deal with the bad days. We tell you all the time, there's peaks and valleys. Peaks and valleys. So we just gave you a little nugget just to wet your lips until we share number six on next week. And I know we're at the time now with our motivational moment. And I'm going to go first. And one of the things I'm going to say, even though I'm not going to say everything, but I am honored to be able to go to Punta Cana, Dominican Republic. In the next few days, to go and renew the vows I marriage to Cheryl Angela Clark.
My whole government name.
Big booty girl. And it's so fun to know that we survived 25 years together, and it just feels so great that we're going to renew our vows, you know. We've had the wedding. Now we're going to do the vow renewal. So we're checking off all the things off the bucket list.
We did not have a wedding. We went to just the feast.
And then we had the thing in okay. Okay, we're having the wedding. Okay, this is the wedding. Yeah, see, I'm happy it's on video now. That's all I'm even like. We're having our wedding / vow renewal this week. And it's going to be a great time and an honor. And on top of that, before I jump it into, I'd like to thank those in advance who are partaking with us.
Yeah.
Because you're coming to share a great moment in our lives and our expression and our experience. And by doing so, you are being a blessing unto us. So it's not about just, you know, you can be anywhere. But you decided to you know, shift your schedules and spend some time with us, you know. And I honor you. Thank you. Happy I'm with Miss Angela Clark. And now I give it over to my wife.
And that's also in the same vein that I'm grateful.
Mm.
So my word is I'm grateful to have been married for 20 years with my husband, Gregory Clark.
Especially where we came from.
Yeah. Mm. We were...
urbanites.
And it's not even about urbanites. It's just about that...
the vibrations around
we... us. You interrupt me now? Okay. So, it's just about when we are together, we were friends, and I married my friend. So if you marry your friend, people rush into things real quickly, if you marry your friend, I believe that there's something in that marriage that can keep you going for a long, long time. And I am so excited about being able to do a vow renewal with my husband, because it's not about the tickets. I mean, it's not really not about the destination. It's really about the journey. So how long, you know, will it be? It seems as though that you get together and you can share this time with each other. That is just amazing. And it wasn't always easy. It was not always easy. We had some good days and we had some bad days.
Very bad.
Very bad. But we're going to Punta Cana, and we're about to celebrate this life on blog. And we are excited. So I'm grateful to be married to Gregory Crazy Clark.
That's right, crazy.
For 20 years. And we're about to do some things with some other couples that's coming along with us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be doing our little workshops there, and we're excited about it. So, actually, if you would like to friend us or like us, or you have any questions, you can go to the Couples Motivators on the Facebook page. You can also inbox us with any questions, any concerns, anything you would like to connect with us. If you are a married couple and you need guidance, we do Skype. We also do a lot of things where we do one-on-one, we do group, and there's also things that if you have a barrier that you're going through, remember, your experiences just makes you stronger. And those things that you're going through are just hurdles for you to just jump right over or go under them or go around them. But how to get there may be a little difficult. You can give us a call. You can inbox us, like I said, and we'll be right there to answer any questions, any concerns for you. This is what we do. This is what we love to do every day and every hour. So thank you so much for joining us this evening, and we can't wait to see you next week.
And that is so true. And remember, you have the opportunity. Please take advantage of the opportunity. Become a subscriber at our YouTube channel. We love for you to come and to join with us on our little portion of the internet. And our YouTube channel is simply now Couple Motivators. No more Esquire 9971. We upgraded. We stepped up our game. And as we said, since we're going to Punta Cana and we're doing all these other great things, believe you me, you'll be able to start navigating our regular website, gregandcherylclark.com, very soon. But definitely, if you want to see our videos, you want to see excerpts of what we teach and how we teach and stuff that you can fundamentally use in your marriage to be a basis point to help you have a great experience, definitely subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Couple Motivators, and take advantage of the information that is being shared. So until next time, you may have a tan. Somebody may look a little dark. You know what I'm saying? Someone may get their hair permed, because, you know, the Dominicans are great with hair down there, boy. They hook it up just straight. You never know. I may come with a little something on my face. You never know. Gotta have fun in life. That's my So take advantage of the opportunities around you and be a blessing to yourself. And as Cheryl stated already, and I'll just reiterate, facebook.com/thecouplemotivators. You want to hit us up for some Skype time, figure out our rates, stuff you need in a group session, or if you need some couples counseling, hit us up at thecouplemotivators@gmail.com, and we'll be glad to set you up. So until next bat time, next bat station, this is Gregory Clark signing off, giving Cheryl Clark the last word.
Thank you, and God bless, and I'll see you next time. Next Monday, remember, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we look forward to hearing from you sooner than later. Thank you, and we'll be right back. next week before you know it. God bless.
Peace.